One. Hey, y'all. It's your girl, Sister Goose, and I'm here with my co-host,
Karen, a.k.a. Sugar Mama, and not to be confused with Sugar Daddy, Sugar Mama for my grandbabies.
Yeah, she ain't looking for no sugar babies out there. And we are Black Girls Inc. And Mom, you know what I'm about to say, because I always say it. I am so excited about our guest today. Okay, because I connected with her.
Okay.
I always feel special when I connect with our guests.
Yes.
And she has such a sweet spirit about herself.
Okay.
You know, yeah. And she got a lot of good things to say. I think this is going to be a really good interview.
All right.
So, everyone, please help me welcome poet Katrina McCann. Okay, I said the last name wrong. We're going to start over.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, y'all. It's your girl, Sister Goose, and I'm here with my co-host,
Karen, a.k.a. Sugar Mama, not to be confused with Sugar Daddy, Sugar Mama for my grandbabies.
That's right. And, Mom, I'm excited about our guest today. She has such a sweet spirit. I think this is going to be really a good interview.
Yes.
And someone needs to hear what she has to say.
Yeah.
All right. So, please help me welcome our guest, poet Katrina McCann. Hey, girl.
Hey, ladies. How are you guys?
Snap for you.
Snap back.
What's going on, right? How are you?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for asking it. Thank you for having me on your show.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yes.
And I want to say, and I told you this before, but I'm letting everyone else know, you have such a humble spirit.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I know that you did interviews and stuff before, and yes, I looked at your Facebook page and stuff, girl.
Okay.
I do my investigations on my people. Yes.
Thank you for doing that. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and you are a popular queen, you know, but you come with a humble spirit.
Very humble.
I admire you for that because you are a role model for me to stay humble as the show grows.
Yes.
To know where I came from and how I started. I'm going to stay humble too.
Absolutely. You know, God has been good to us, and we have to be humble, because we know once you get boastful, you know what happened. God started removing some things out of your life to get you back down to where you should be.
Right.
And I don't need Him taking anything from me, so I try to remain as humble as possible.
Right. So can you tell us the title of your book and what it's all about?
The title of my book is Because She Decided to Love, and it is a collection of poetry where I talk about love and the impact that love has on every relationship. I talk about love through the experience of loss, hurt, pain, grief, passion. I take readers through like a journey from like the sweetest emotions of love to the most bitter emotions that love evokes. And my book is divided into chapters, and each chapter kind of reveals a different relationship and internal struggles. So it is a great book. I wrote it revealing my heart. I truly put my heart and soul into this book, and I was very vulnerable when I completed this book, and then I had hesitations about even sharing this book to the world.
Okay, so with that being said, I have to ask you, what was the hardest poem for you to write? What was the hardest poem for you? What was at the worst point of your life when you wrote it?
The hardest poem for me to write was a poem titled Too Quiet. And the poem is talking about my personal frustrations in that moment. Like, I was upset about friendships, and I was upset about just like everything that was going on. I kind of woke up angry that day, I guess, and I talked about waiting for CT scan results. I talked about just like the world was just too quiet and how I needed noise. And even if I put music on, it wasn't enough noise. Even if I recited the perfect poem, it still wasn't enough noise. So in that moment, I couldn't think of anything to drown out the quietness. So I wrote that poem, and I wasn't even going to put it in my book. I wasn't going to share it at all. And I sent it to my twin sister. She was like, you got to share it. It's like, it's got raw emotions. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Twin Boo. But she was like, it has raw emotions in this poem that people feel every single day. You need to put this poem in this book. And even before the book was off to my publisher, I was still hesitant about doing it. Mm-hmm. But I felt like somebody else needed to hear that poem. So that was probably the toughest poem for me to write, only because of the headspace that I was in at the time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was a tough one.
Okay, but you know what I learned in life? I know I haven't lived a long life, you know, because y'all's older than me, so y'all like, what? But in my life, okay, Mom, okay, I'm chatting lightly.
All right, just to get it out there.
I learned that if you ever get a story or you ever have something that you need to say, and whenever you feel the most nervous or the most secretive, one that you don't want to share,
that's
going to be the one that's going to bless others the most. That's going to be the one that's going to get you out there the most. It's always the one that you hesitate to do.
Yes, that's good. And I actually had rave reviews about that poem. I've been a couple of Instagram interviews, and this is one guy in particular that wants to interview me all the time, and he always talk about that poem, and I was like, that poem wasn't even going to make it in the book. Like, I'm glad you like it, and I'm glad it speaks to you, but I'm telling you, even when I go back and read that poem, I kind of tear up a little bit, because I just remember the headspace I was in that night that I wrote that poem.
And you know why people probably love it so much? Because we are probably on that emotional roller coaster with you as we're reading.
Yes.
So we
feel
that pain in every word. We feel that frustration, that fear, that emotion.
Yes.
That's what I love about you poets so much. I do. Because I'm not really a poet. You know what I'm saying? I could do a little, like, I guess I kind of am because I write songs. But I'm talking about a poet as of speaking it. You know what I mean?
Why?
I love poetry because you can tell that person's pain or whatever they was feeling in that moment when they wrote it, and it touches me. Like, I feel what you're saying. I feel like I'm the person in the glass window looking at you in that moment that you're talking about in your poem. And that's what I love about poets.
That's good, Barbie. That is really good. We are very artistic people, and we do have a great way of saying the normal, or the it's a very unusual way than what everybody else says it. And I think that's what attracts people to poetry. I've always written poetry since I was 12 years old. I kind of took a break for a while, but it didn't take me long to get back into it and to like really dive into it. And once I dove back into it this time, I was like, oh, there's no stopping this time.
Okay, so I want to ask you, was it easy for you when you wrote this book? Like, how was your process when you was writing it?
The process was not easy at all. It was not easy. To be creative enough to come up with that much material to put into a book is kind of hard sometimes. Of course, you can come up, I can write poems, and I can come up with 50 poems tomorrow. But it wouldn't reveal my heart and my soul and my personality.
Exactly.
So that's what I was going for when I wrote this book. Every single poem in this book comes from a place. It's about a person or an experience that I had. And I wanted that to be revealed in my first book. So it was not easy tapping into those emotions. And then even along the way, I had like crazy things going on in my personal life. I experienced a relationship breakup. I had health issues. My job changed. I mean, I had so many obstacles coming, like hit me daggers one after another. But I pushed through. I set a deadline as to when I wanted the book out. And I just kept trucking along. You know, I would stay up sometimes 3 o'clock in the morning trying to meet these goals that I had set for myself. And I'm just proud of the end result. Very proud of it.
I'm proud of you too, because
thank you,
girl. You're doing a good job. Like I said,
thank you.
I researched my people, and I was looking at your page, and you reached 2,000 followers. Am I correct?
Yes!
I hope I was looking. You reached 2,000 followers, and I was like, wow.
Yes!
Amazing!
Yes.
So it
yes,
shows,
God is good.
Yes, it
God
shows
is good.
That all that hard work of the process of making the book and everything, it paid off for you to step out on faith and
to do what God wants you to do.
Because I'm sure that your poems, when people read it, it's not just something they're just reading. It's something that's touching them, that's changing their lives, that's helping heal them.
Yes.
So thank you for pushing yourself out there to do this book.
Yes.
To touch people. I really
thank you
for that.
Oh, thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that. And to piggyback off that social media thing, social media is very hard work. It seems like it's harder. It's harder than actually writing the book, because I want to connect with people, and I want people to see that, you know, I am genuine, I'm authentic in everything that I post. So I got to constantly be putting things out there, constantly, you know, sharing personal things about me, but not too personal. So it's very hard to keep people's attention. I mean, it really, really has been, but it's been rewarding. You know, if I put something up there and one person responds to it, I'm like, yes, thank you, Jesus. It doesn't take 100 people for me to get excited. It really takes one person for it to be like, hey, I feel what you're saying in that post.
I love that. But you got 2,000.
So I have 2,000 on Instagram, and I just had 2,000 follower celebration party a couple of weeks ago on Instagram. And then on Facebook, I've had like 4,000 followers for a while now. It's kind of been steady at 4,000.
But I'm humble.
I'm telling y'all, I am so humble by that.
That's
very humble.
So what do you want people to get from your book of poems of Because She Decided to Love? Like, what is your hope that people get after they read your book?
So what I want people to get is, you know, when you decide to love, of course, you're taking that risk with, you know, revealing your heart and soul to somebody. You never know what's going to happen. You know, it could be a long-lasting relationship, or it could be one that results in heartbreak. So if it results in heartbreak, you know, I want readers to be able to walk away and just remember how precious love is. It is the most beautiful thing in the world. We cannot live without it. You have to heal, and you have to put yourself back out there. Even if it's a, you know, family relationships, personal relationships, even people at work will break your heart. You know, I don't care what kind of relationship it is. You gotta heal from it, and you gotta start loving again. There's no way in the world you're gonna survive without, unless you want to walk around being a bitter person, but, you know, who wants to do that? But you just gotta love, and that's what I wanted people to walk away with, because I have a heartbreak session in there where I am honest. I am raw about how my heart got broken. Okay. But then there's other poems about love. Like, hey, love is beautiful. Hey, tap into this love. So people just gotta just keep loving. I don't care how bad your heart was broken. You just gotta keep loving.
Yeah, I feel you on that, girl.
Uh-huh.
And you know what I found that's so unique about your book that she told me, that I want everyone else to know, is She Decided to Love is not just poems about someone being in love with somebody. She's talking about an all different type of relationship.
It's
not just boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife things. It's a mother-daughter thing. It's a father and son thing. It's a brother and sister thing. She's talking about all different types of ways how she decided to love in the different relationships. So when you look at this book, you just think, oh, this is for couples, I don't want to read it. No, honey.
Right.
She's talking about
right.
all different type of loves. There is something in there for everybody. So I just wanted to make that clear. And that's what I really
absolutely
find unique about your book of She Decided to Love.
Absolutely, Barbie. I want to piggyback off what you just said. It's for everybody. So the love section, of course, is very heavy. You know, I talk about my family. I talk about dating and you know, definitely my son and my granddaughter, I have two poems in there about them too. And then there's the heartbreak section, I just mentioned that. And then there's a social issue section in there where I talk about the social issues that are going on. Now, I didn't get too heavy in it because I'm a softie. I can't talk about politics too much without crying. But I have a poem in there where I shout out beautiful black men. And I let them know, hey, I see the struggles that you go through. I salute you. Keep pressing on. I don't care how bad this world is or how barely it treats you. You know, keep pushing on, black man. I see you. I love you. You are beautiful. And that one is just like brings me to tears every time I think about it. And then I have a religious section there. Of course, I talk about my relationship with God and just how good God has been to me. So it's not just about romantic love, people. It's about everything. I guarantee you it's a form of here that you can relate to.
Yes. Because the reason, let me tell you. Now, I don't want nobody to feel no type of way when I say this. I love everyone's book that I interview. Okay? Let me make that clear first. Now, there are certain titles where I hit people up because the book grabbed me. Because like I said, I do my interviews just like I'm in the audience. I'm looking through the books and I'm finding ones that grab me. And so some people I reach out to. And your book was one of them books from your title that I just felt something.
Let me explain why.
I want to explain why. I'm about to put my personal self out there.
Okay.
Love is a strong word for me.
Uh-huh.
Because, and I know women can relate to this. I made up a song about myself about the love thing because I would always feel like I got love from my mom and my dad and everything, but when it came to this love game with other people, I always felt like I could never win. You know what I mean? That was the other thing. When it comes to love, I just feel like I could never win. You know what I mean? And then I put that shield up where it's just like, I'm going to keep it this way then so I don't have to deal with that heartache with the love thing.
Uh-huh.
But when I decided to love, because I feel like you wrote that title for me. When I decided to love, I realized how love can be such a beautiful thing.
It's so beautiful.
Different relationships with a best friend I had for years, two of them, who are basically my sisters. And then, like I said, I was never good at the love game, but God finally blessed me to find my fiance in that moment in my life where I decided not to love, but he still sent me somebody to love me, to show me and remind me how to love again, and to make me look and be like, oh, this is what real love feels like. This is what love is. So your title, when I seen your title, everything I just told you, that's what I just felt.
That's amazing.
I'm saying that for people who are listening, because if I got that along from her title, imagine what we can get if we read her book, y'all. Check her book out, because love is a strong word for everybody. I know it ain't just me. We all got something with love. So check out her book, because she has something
to do. Yes, people, check it out. Yes.
I have to ask you, what got you into writing poetry? Because you could have started anywhere. Because me, I write Christian fiction. I write fiction, period. But I really do Christian fiction because I feel like there's not a lot of realistic Christian books.
Yeah.
And if there is a Christian book, they always have the sexual and stuff in it. Now, I'm not knocking on people who got books like that. But I'm just saying, I wanted to make a book where it's clean enough for you to read it in church and do a book club in church.
Right.
So my question to you is, what got you into writing poetry? What made you get into this genre?
I started writing poetry when I was 12. And it was for an assignment in my English class. And I can't remember the details of the assignment, but I just remember it being a poetry kind of lesson type deal. So I kind of wrote something, and I didn't think anything of it. You know, I really did just write it to get an A on that assignment in the class. And we had to present the assignments in class. I presented mine, and, you know, of course, we're in a class with, you know, 12-year-olds. Nobody said anything, so I was like, oh, okay, then, well, whatever. So my teacher asked me to hang around after class, and I was like, oh, boy, what did I do wrong?
Right.
And she was like, that was good. She was like, your poetry was really, really good. She was like, she was talking about the subject and verb combinations and how everything was great. She said, but even outside of that, that was a really good poem. So, of course, you know, I'm turning deep red in the face. I'm blushing because it was an honest English class, and she never complimented anybody, ever. So I was like, there might be something into this. And so I always scribble anyway. I always journal a whole lot when I was a kid. And I just continued to do it. So I stopped writing poetry when I was probably early 20s. Life happened, you know, I was a single mom, and, you know, just life happened, and just never enough time to get back to it. And then I finally got back into it a couple of years ago. And so I would say it has to be that assignment in the class that kind of sparked my love for poetry, but I've always loved to write poetry over the years. I kind of scribbled, but nothing ever really came of it.
Okay. That's what's up. A lot of us started when we was young.
Yeah, everybody's probably saying that.
Everybody say that, but what cracks me up is I don't think none of us thought that it would really become something
we
would desire to do for, like, a dream.
Right.
And to make it a reality. Because I sure never thought about writing. I did it as a hobby.
Yeah,
I always tell my friends that. They be like, make a book. I was like, girl, it's just a hobby. She's like, no. That's more than a hobby.
Me too.
You're good at it. But
Absolutely.
But it
only
takes somebody else to see it in us, you know?
Exactly. And I was going to say, it's a good thing that we both had good people in our lives that saw our potential and like, hey, you really need to write a book, because that's how it started with me writing a book. I had no intentions of writing a book at all. Never. I just wanted to write some poetry and share it with a couple of people. And I did get the very first poem that I wrote once I got back into it, copyrighted. A publishing company reached out to me and asked me to publish a book. And I was like, I only got 3 completed poems. I was like, I don't have enough material. And the lady was like, well, when you get enough, you reach back out to us. And I didn't use that publishing company for other reasons. But I had no intentions of writing a book. I'm going to tell you, I just wanted to write and just put my thoughts on paper and just share it with people. I had no intentions of doing so.
Yeah, I feel you. That's what's up. Look, you was called to do it too, girl. Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely.
So, what is your plans after this? Like, are you working on anything else that you want to try to get out there in a book-wise? Or do you have other plans other than the book? Or do you want to dip into something else other than poetry? Like, what's your plans after this?
I have so many ideas. But the short-term plan is I am working on my second poetry book. That one is going to come out 2021. And just last night, you know, I was kind of mapping out some stuff. And I think it's going to be released the latter part of 2021. So I'm not quite sure. I kind of have a date. I don't want to release that just yet until I kind of get some more things lined up. But definitely 2021. Another thing that's been on my heart for a couple of months now is starting a foundation for little girls that needs the confidence and the backing or whatever they need to start writing poetry. And not just write poetry, but to get their poetry books published. So that's kind of something that's been on my heart. And I haven't had enough time to really get that going. I work a full-time job, and then this poetry thing is a full-time job as well. But as soon as things slow down just a little bit, that is like the first thing that's on my bucket list to do, is to get this foundation started, because I really want to reach out and give back.
Yeah, and I think, I needed you in my life when I was a kid, because there is young girls out there who have a story to tell. And some of them has been through more things than you and I have even seen in our lives.
Uh-huh.
And poetry is their escape, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it doesn't even really have to be poetry now that I'm thinking about. It's just any young girl that wants to write, that wants to put down anything on paper. I will help you clean it up. I will help you, you know, polish it where it's good enough to be released. Not saying that I'm a professional at this. I'm not. But will do whatever I can to help somebody do it. But that's one of my things that I really want to do.
And I'm going to get it done.
That's going to be done.
Please hit me up when you do that, because I would love to be a part of that. I really
absolutely. Absolutely, Barbie. I got you. Absolutely.
Yeah. I would love to show young girls how to do one-woman show, like my mom did, you know?
Absolutely.
Okay. I like that. So do you have anything else going on other than writing poetry that you might want people to know about?
One thing that I have been challenged to do by one of my Instagram friends is he, for some reason, he sees something in me, and he's always trying to push me to the next level. He's giving me ideas with poetry, but his idea has been, I want you to write a short story, and I'm going to critique it for you. And then, now, he has like an amazing voice where he records reading other people's material. So I've been working on this short story, and that kind of gave me the idea, hey, have you thought about doing a short story book? Because I've always been a great writer. So I'm thinking about maybe even releasing a short story book. I'm telling you, I have so many ideas. Like, we could talk to midnight about the ideas that I think I have about them. I just don't have enough time to execute everything. So I'm making a list, and I'm knocking things down slowly. But because I love poetry so much, I want to release my second poetry book before I start diving into all these other areas that I want to accomplish.
But it's funny that you said that, though, because as you're saying it, and as I'm hearing about how you say your poems are and how well you connect them to each other, you know, the order you put them in and stuff, I can see you doing short stories. I really can.
Oh, wow!
So I can see why he said that, and your poems is based off of your feelings, like how you were saying how it was a scary moment from you and all that, like the scenery that you did it. That was basically a short story you was telling me right there. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
You would just be telling your emotions that you felt and stuff. Like, it's not really poem. You're just talking about you actually being there. You're giving a scene. Because that's how my mom does that. I don't know if you listened to our episode where I did what my mom do, because she been sick for a while. She couldn't do it.
I did. It's kind of
like a short story, but it's a one-woman show type thing where I'm acting out.
Yeah.
But I can,
that was good.
I can see you doing that, though. That's what you can do with your short stories, though.
Hey, you just put another idea in my head.
Yeah.
You really did.
Just keep listening, because I'm going to do one of mine.
I listened
to a couple of podcasts, and I sent Barbie a message. And I was like, I love the podcast that I heard already. Like, they are really good, ladies. I like them.
But whenever I do mine, I make you feel what I feel, because I'm feeling it too.
Yeah, and that's why I think she would be so good at it, because her poem does that already for people. Mm-hmm. So imagine if she did her short story and added a small poem in that short story.
Yes.
You'll be a double hitter, girl. That's all I'm saying. In mine, I sing a song. And my mom, she tells a poem a little bit in her. You got it, girl. So go ahead and work. If you need a partner where you just want to practice it before you tell your friend, just to see, you know, get a feel.
Yeah.
I'm here for you.
Hey, I'm putting you down 2 times now, Barbie. I got you twice.
Two times.
All
right, I know that's right.
Don't you mean Sister Goose?
Look, no, Sister Goose and Barbie. I go by both. She said Sister Goose. We got on a personal level, and people just listening to us talk.
That's what happens. That's why I was trying to point that out, because that's what that meant.
So, I'm going to do something that we call tea time. And that's where we base our questions on the author who's on our show, either their book title, or the character in their book, or the genre or theme of their book. So, are you ready to do that with us, Miss Poet?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Let's have tea time.
All right. So, our tea time question of the day, you want me to read it or you want to?
No, you can read it. I'll go
the
first.
The tea time question of the day is, what was a moment in your life where you decided to love? Who would like to go first?
I'll go first.
You'll go first?
Yeah, I'm trying to... He told me what the question was going to be, so I'm thinking about it.
You've been thinking about it?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it, but I need... I'm going to try to get through this without tears.
Okay, try your best. It's okay if you got tears. I got tissue.
Whenever I decided to love.
Mm-hmm.
My mother is gone now. But when I was growing up, she was very hard. Very hard on discipline. But now I understand that that was being her being bipolar. But in her town, they didn't know anything about that. But that's how she was. And when I got older, she got sick. And he had to take turns taking care of her. It was my turn to take care of her. But she didn't come to my house because I had a lot of steps. But I was willing to do it. But then later on after that, I started helping take care of her at her house. And then later on, it was at the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at the place where she was. But her and me had a bad relationship. But whenever she got sick, which was hard for me, because when she got sick, she was good to me.
Mm-hmm.
So then, I still had to help take care of her then. And that's when I decided that I'm going to love her no matter what. Now everybody say, well, you love your mother. Yeah, I do. But that was a different kind of love that we had then. Because
uh-huh.
I was older, she was older, and she could tell me more about what was going on in her life then. Because I didn't know anything that was going on in her life then. But now it makes sense. But had she told me, it would have been better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because she grew up like that. She grew up with beating you with a belt and all that kind of stuff. Because she didn't know. But then this is what I said. There's 12 of us. So I came to the decision that she had to be like that. Because she would have had mutiny on the ship. Because it's just her. We can have mutiny. And it can't be. So she needed to be able to just look at me. And give me a look, and I do whatever, or do this, and I won't do it again. So yeah. I understand that now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's my time that I've decided to love.
Okay, that's when you decided to love.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You want me to go next, girl, or you want to go?
You take it.
All right. I did have one that I was going to say, but something told me to say this one instead when I was thinking about today,
mm-hmm.
because there's girls out here who might need to hear it.
Yeah.
So the moment I decided to love was when I decided to love myself again.
Mm-hmm.
I had a moment where I was attacked. And it didn't just happen once. It happened twice now. And I lost myself. I mean, I just completely lost myself. I didn't really cook anymore like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't take care of my house the way I used to. I wasn't the best mommy that I was. I just really lost myself. I was in a dark place. And I got to a point where I didn't like myself anymore. Because I started questioning to myself of, why does this keep happening to you? Like, there's so many women out there, but for some reason it just keeps targeting on you.
Uh-huh.
And I hated myself for that. Because I thought it was something about me. And I was just like, well, what is it so I can remove it so I won't have this target on me? Now, look, you said you was going to crack. I'm about to crack. But I didn't like myself. I did not love myself. I thought I was worthless. And I remember asking my sister, where do you, like, because I got into a very deep depression. I mean, I was just so lost. I couldn't see the light anywhere. And I asked my sister, I was just like, I lost myself and I don't even know how to find me again. And I asked her, when does she think I lost myself? And she told me, but I'm not going to say the one thing she particularly said, but one thing she did tell me is, you lost yourself when you stopped loving yourself. Because you were so confident, nobody could tell you nothing, Barbie. You thought you was all that and a bag of chips, and it didn't matter what people thought of you, said about you. You just let it bounce back off you like you was just, you know, rubber. It didn't stick to you. And she said that's when you started to just lose yourself, when you stopped loving yourself. So I had to slowly love myself again. And I had to learn that I was not the same baby anymore. So I had to figure out who this new person was, because when that happened, I was only a mother of one, but now I'm a mother. I was a mother of two at this point. And my mom was sicker at this point. And I didn't know. So I had to love myself again. And I slowly started to get to know me again. I slowly started to write things that I liked about myself again, you know, and looked at myself in the mirror more and tell myself, you look good today. Whether I believe it or not, that's what I told myself. Because I believe if you keep saying it, sooner or later, you're going to believe it. And it's going to come true, because it is true. So that's what I started doing. So I'm telling women out there who are like me that it's not too late to fall in love with yourself again.
Absolutely.
No matter how deep you are, no matter how dark it gets. And it's okay to let someone know that you're lost. Because I was scared to say it. But I was lost. And it's funny that people was around me and they knew that I was, but they was waiting for me to say something first. So I'm saying, say something first so someone can put their hand out to help you. Because if you don't say it, they won't know. And that's their way of showing that they love you, to be there and support you. So that's my moment when I decided to love.
Oh, wow. I'm in tears listening to both of y'all stories. And I'm like, now it's my turn.
It's all right. Look, take a minute, because I'm sure people who are listening, take a minute.
You know what? There was something else I was going to say, but I didn't say it. And now I'm going to say it, because she said what she said, and it was something similar. Whenever the girls were younger, I was married, and I got separated from their dad. And what happened was, is that they lived in separate houses. Come to the day, we kept the man, they go to their house. But you know what? They would talk about me so bad in front of the girls. And the girls were crying. So one day, they went over there, and I went with them. And that's because I always said to the girls, you don't have to listen to that, but never defend me, because you don't have to get into it. So then I went over there, and I talked to him, and I said, listen, these kids are more important than us. We got to stop all this, because I didn't say anything bad about you. I want you to stop saying stuff about me in front of them.
Well, he didn't either, but other people did.
We need to do better. What are most important right now. So that's when I decided to love a different way.
Yeah, with him. That's a
that's good. That is good. That is really good.
I hope the tears to stop flowing, Mom. Thank you. I needed that.
Sometimes we really want love, but sometimes the person we want love from don't know how to love.
That's a story for another day. That's a good topic.
Don't know how to love. So how are they gonna give it to you if they don't know how to do it?
Right.
True.
All right, it's time for you.
True. Okay, I'm in the hot seat, huh? Okay, so I've had several moments in my life where I decided to love, and I'm only gonna share two. The first one probably was 22 years ago when I decided to give my life to Christ, and it came from a place where I was just doing my own thing, living my own life. I had it going on, so I thought. And it was like things just kept happening over and over again to just show me, like, you cannot do this by yourself. And I was even a single mom at the time. And I mean, God was providing for us. Like, you know, we've never gone hungry. We've never not had lights in our house. We never not had anything. And it was one particular weekend when my son was with his dad and I was at home by myself, and I was downstairs watching TV. I was like, I'm just gonna sleep on the couch. And it was like the strangest emotion conversation, God getting my attention, because it had never happened before. And I was like, is it really? I mean, I'm going to church with my family at the time, but I was like, really, is it really time for me to really stop wilding out, for lack of better words, and slow down a little bit and think about my relationship with God? So I think that was the first thing, and I think I had been running from it for a couple of months. My son was probably 3 years old at the time, and we were in the car coming or going somewhere, and he said, Mama, can I put on my brown church shoes, and we go to church on Sunday. And I was like, huh? Where did that come from? We don't go to church like that. For you to be saying something like that, like, where did that come from? But it was like, it sent a chill through my body. And prior to that, again, I said I was wilding out, and I have to piggyback on that shield for protection. You know, I had been in, you know, relationships that didn't turn out well. My son's dad, we had been together, teenage love, and we had broken up. And I'm like, you know, I don't understand what is going on, but I tell you what, I'm not going to get hurt like that again. I'm not putting my heart out there again. I'm not putting my soul out there like that again. But I became a person that I wasn't. You know, I was negative all the time, foul stuff coming out my mouth all the time. You know, just, I don't know, just not a pleasant person. And I didn't like the person that I had became just because I was trying to be on the defense all the time to prevent from getting hurt again. Mm-hmm. So that was probably my first moment of deciding to love. My second moment was probably 5 years ago. So I have a granddaughter that is 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And I remember the night that I found out about her. And my son was still in college, and you know, I had a plan for his life. You hear me say, I had a plan for his life. You're gonna go to college, and you're gonna graduate, and you're gonna make something of yourself. You're gonna break this generational curse of us having babies before we are married, and us having babies before, you know, we are financially stable. So I had a plan for his life. So the night that he called me and told me, I was like, you got to be kidding me. And so I did not handle that situation very well. And I said some things to him that, you know, I won't apologize for. But then when I thought about it, I was like, wow, you know, there's a baby coming in this world. And then I started getting, you know, as the father along that her mom got, I started getting super excited about her. And, but the moment that I decided to love again, y'all, was the second that I laid eyes on her. Like, and I'm tearing up. I mean, it was literally the second that I laid eyes on her. And she has spina bifida, and she has a lot of things, you know, at birth that was going on. And she's still struggling with some things now, and probably will for the rest of her life. But in that moment, when I saw this little girl laying there, and she was the most precious thing I have ever laid my eyes on. Even my own child. My granddaughter was the most precious thing in the world. And then when she stayed in the hospital for about a month and a half. And I would go up there and see her a couple of times a week. And I loved when I was in there by myself with her. And one particular time I'm in there with her, and, you know, just talking. And then I start singing to her. I'm not a singer at all. Mm-hmm. And she opened up her eyes and she started smiling. Mm-hmm. And I was taking all these pictures of her, and I mean, tears were flowing, and I was like, God, I hear you. You have given me something else to love in a different way. You have reminded me again just how precious love is, how precious life is, how right. precious. Like, I've been focusing on the wrong things all these years. Yes, I've been single, off and on, majority of my life, and I want that romantic love. But God, you have given me this precious baby to love. And even now, 4 years later, she trusts me with her whole life. That is my sidekick. That is my little mama. Yeah. That's my baby. I tell you, like, that's my baby. Right. That's my girl. And I just remember, again, like the moment that I found out about her, and then the first time that I laid eyes on her, it was like, her mom was scheduled for a cesarean, so I was there before they took her back, and it took forever for her to get here. Yeah. And then when she got here, they whisked her right off to ICU, and I couldn't get back there to see her for hours. And I'm like, I'm buzzing, I'm like, hey, I'm grandma, I want to get back there. And I was like, grandma, nobody can come back with parents right now. I was like, okay, so I go back and sit out. I'm buzzing again. Hey, grandma's still out here. And it literally took me 8 hours before I could see her. But then when I saw her, it was so worth it. So it just God just reminded me. And there's more moments that I could talk about where God just reminded me, hey, get your attention off the stuff that you don't have. Mm-hmm. Get your attention off those heartbreaks that you've experienced. Look at this blessing that I have given you. Look at and all these other things that you could just put your attention on. Stop focusing on all that negative stuff. It's not time for you to have what you're asking for yet. And it just reminds me of that every day. Even moments where I get upset and depressed and, you know, just get in my own way. You know, I'm looking at this precious little girl. I wake up every morning to her being in my house. She's safe. She's happy. She's loved. And I'm like, thank you, God. Just thank you, God. So those were my two moments, and again, like I said, I could talk to midnight about it, and I done teared up on being myself. But God is just good. He's amazing. He's amazing.
That's what's up. That was a good story.
Thank you.
Somebody going to feel you on that, and somebody in that situation like you, and they need to hear that, you know. So I'm glad you shared that moment with us.
Thank you.
So y'all, that was an example of how you can get something out of this book. We just made a topic from just the title of her book. Imagine what y'all will get if you read the whole book of her poetry. Mm-hmm. There's more in there than just that. If it's powerful from the title, imagine how powerful the poems are. Mm-hmm. So please
thank you,
her, girl, and go get her
thank
book.
You.
Please let them know where they can go get your book at.
Absolutely. You can purchase the book from my website, www.poetkatrinamccain.com. My book is also available on Amazon. I encourage people to purchase it from my website. When people do, I can literally autograph the book for you. And I put a little something special in each envelope just to say thank you for thinking about me. Thank you for spending your hard-earned money on me, because you could have spent it on anybody else. Mm-hmm. So I truly encourage people to buy it from me. And you don't have to. You really don't have to. Look, it's about a book. But it is available on Amazon as well.
Okay. That's what's up. And where else can they follow you at if they just want to, you know, look you up? Where can they hit you up at?
I am everywhere.
Well, give us a name.
Facebook and Instagram, I am at Poet Katrina McCain. On Twitter, I am at McCain Poet. On YouTube, I am at Poet Katrina McCain. You can also reach me on my website. And I just said that, but I'll say it again, www.poetkatrinamccain.com. You can reach me at both of my email addresses, poetkatrinamccain@outlook.com, poetkatrinamccain@gmail.com. And I literally respond to every message, every comment, everything anybody sends to me. So if you want to reach out, just ask me questions about my book or anything. Please do. Email me, DM me, inbox me, whatever the word you want to use, do it, and I will respond.
That's what's up. Well, y'all heard her. So hit her up. Go to her website. Yep. Support our girl. Mm-hmm. Please purchase her book, because, like I said, it's not just for couples. She Decided to Love is for everyone, and there's something in there for everybody to read.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
So support our girl.
Absolutely. So,
Miss Poet Katrina, we just want to thank you for coming on to our show.
Thank you. Of course.
We enjoyed having you. So
yes,
thank you
did.
Again for coming to the show.
Of course. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Yeah, I had so much fun with you, girl. I really did.
Oh, me too. I truly appreciate it.
Yes. So, Miss Katrina.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Guess what, girl?
What is it?
You are officially
a Black Girls Inc. member. Let's give her
welcome
to the family.
Yay! How exciting!
This means this will not be the last time that you hear from Poet Katrina. We will be having her on in the future to come on live for Poet Week to tell us a poem. So y'all can hear her. So please stay tuned for that. And we're more than just that. So come
back.
One more added to the group.
Right, we got another one added. And another when your book is ready, and when you add it, the time you're ready to release it, please come so we can support you for your book release. We would love to interview you again.
Absolutely. I'm excited. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
You are so welcome. All right, everyone. That's our show. Again, I'm Sister Goose.
I'm Karen, a.k.a. Sugar Mama.
And remember to go out there and purchase your book, She Decided to Love, from Poet Katrina.
Yes.
And we are Black Girls Inc. Snapping out, y'all.